So I had this idea last year after meeting these fellows at last year's conference that there might be a lot of interest in having new authors formally get a little bit of some ideas from some seasoned authors. And if you are a new author, hearing from some seasoned authors. So I'd first like to try to find out how many of you consider yourselves seasoned authors? So. Well, you've done at least a first edition, probably more than that, or more than one book. So put your hands up a little bit. Okay, so maybe half. So then the rest of you, are you interested in maybe writing a book? You're thinking about it. Maybe you have some of your manuscript ready. Okay, so that's great, because so it looks like we might have about 50-50, which is what I was ideally hoping for. Okay. So what we're going to do first is we're all going to introduce ourselves, and then I've got a few questions that I came up with for the panel, and then we're going to have the fun of having you come up with some questions for each other and for us. So she said, my name's Laura Frost. I'm from Florida Gulf Coast University, which is, if you follow basketball, that's Dunk City, and we're located in Fort Myers, Florida. And so one of the introductory remarks that I want everybody to answer up here is, how did you get interested in writing a textbook? And for me, it was I gave a presentation on the way that I was teaching the course, and I'm in chemistry, at a conference, and an acquisitions editor came up to me and said, hey, would you be interested in writing a book that uses that same approach? So that's how I got interested in writing a textbook. It's a chemistry textbook for an introductory course for allied health majors. I'm actually getting ready to publish a fourth edition, so I guess I'm in the seasoned classification. And then I asked everybody to come up with the top three things that they wish they would have known or have learned about textbook writing in the process. And so I did this too because I was thinking, well, I should tell you mine. The top three things I learned were, and many of you that know me will laugh at this one, you should know your co-author's work ethic. I also think that your publisher should be treated more as a partner, not as an adversary, because you need to understand their viewpoint as much as they understand your viewpoint so that you can come to agreement on things. And I also think that if you're writing a textbook, you ought to know as much as you can about pedagogy, because we don't need more textbooks that are just content. We need textbooks that can help students to learn the material. So those were my three things. And so with that, I'm going to pass it off to Brent, and he's going to give you his introduction.
All right. So my name is Brent Blair. And so I just have a series of questions I'm going to answer here. So I am from Xavier University in Cincinnati, Ohio. I first got interested in writing a textbook probably, you know, more than 10 years ago. I have taught environmental science for now maybe 13 years, 14 years in some form. And I guess I started really thinking seriously about it maybe 7 years ago when an acquisitions editor came to our university and was really asking me about if I was interested in writing an ecology textbook. So that's another course that I teach. And I really wasn't. That's not really my passion in a way. So I told him no, but he gave me his card, and I continued to be interested. And so I hadn't gotten tenure at that point, so I really didn't think I had the time to pursue a textbook. But about 2 years ago, I started thinking about this again seriously, and I started putting together a chapter and a prospectus. And so I called the individual, the acquisitions editor from Oxford University Press, and we discussed, you know, potentially an environmental science textbook, and he was quite interested in it, and so it moved forward. So now I'm into it about a year after the contract was signed. I've written maybe four chapters out of 18, so it's a slow process, obviously, but it's coming along. Let's see. So as I said, it's an environmental science textbook. Let's see if there's anything else here I need to tell you about. Okay, so the top three things I wish I had known, yes. And these are, they're all sort of circle around the same thing, or the top two do, but I would say they sort of relate to cycles and rhythms of writing. And one of the things that I wish I had known was sort of the cycle of my responsibility in terms of what I was doing. And at least in the process that I'm working through is I have periods where I need to write a chapter or multiple chapters. I then send them off to review, but then when they come back, I have to revise the heck out of them. And, you know, often, you know, when I'm at the end of the first or second chapter that before I send them off to review, I'm really in a rhythm. And then when then editing starts and that sort of slows me down, but then I get back into a rhythm of editing. But then there's a lot of waiting, you know, waiting for the reviewers to come back, and then also starting back with writing. So that's one thing I sort of wished I had known, that sort of cycle. Second thing is another cycle or rhythm of motivation in terms of how that cycle moves. And, you know, while I'm writing towards the end, I'm feeling really motivated, going very well, but when something new starts, I tend to sort of clam up in a sense, and it's much harder to get started, so that period. So just sort of the differences in motivation and ability, it's not that I'm not trying to write, not sitting in front of my computer, but just that I'm not able to do it as efficiently. And the third thing I guess I would say is that I wish I had known was just that when I created sort of the idea of this book, I thought I was going to be writing what I wanted to write in sort of put my own ideas forward, and certainly I'm doing that, but it has to all sort of be, also I have to put forward what the buyers are going to want, and so my editors, you know, keep on reminding me that I need to, you know, we're looking at the competitors and seeing what they have and the reviewers and what they say they want, and of course that mimics a lot of times what the competitors are saying. So in terms of just the scope of what needs to go into the book isn't as controlled by me as I had once thought it would be or wish it would be, but I'm rolling with it and it's working out pretty well. Let's see, and I think that's it for my intro. So I'll hand it off.
If there's anything you would like the audience to consider that you need help on.
I guess right now I'm sort of starting that process of writing again and that motivation and just being able to focus really, have that sharp focus on what I'm doing is not going as well as I would like. So if anyone has any sort of tips or tricks for motivation, I've been asking a lot of people that during this period and got a lot of good responses, but that would be my one question, I suppose.
Thanks, Brent. My name is Dave Dillon. I'm a professor and counseling faculty at Grossmont College in San Diego. And my interest in writing a textbook primarily came from two intersecting things. One was that I was an adjunct, this is about 2005, and working in four different community colleges at the same time. And so I found myself to be fortunate if I was landing at the right college at the right time on the right day to teach the right class. And, you know, my colleagues had teased me because I had this rolling bag of all of my materials from all these different places. And here comes Dave with his rolling bag and all his stuff. And I had a fair amount of my own original content. I had all kinds of Xerox things from all sorts of places. And then I would have either the assigned textbook that I was supposed to use from College X, and College Y gave me a list to be able to choose from. And so there was one particular semester in there where I came home and I was just exhausted and there were too many materials to sift through, and I thought, if I ever become full-time, gosh darn it, I'm going to write my own textbook and simplify, you know. And so that was part of the impetus. The other one was that I was teaching a class that I would say is kind of a niche class. It was a study skills and time management one unit course. And I just didn't find a whole lot of currently existing things that were specifically fitting that particular course. And so that's what I started to write. It was started in 2009. I had given myself a timeline of 2 years. it took 5 years. And I'll allude a little bit to that later. I think that while I'm fiercely proud of the accomplishment, had I known what I was really getting myself into, I'm not entirely sure that I would have started. And so it was published 2014, and I've been approved for a sabbatical for the fall to be able to work on a second edition. Top three things I wish I would have known. So one is this association, and particularly this conference. So I serendipitously found this conference in 2015, and boy, it would have been valuable for me if I would have found it 2 or 3 years prior. The knowledge and insight and wisdom that the seasoned authors and the presenters have shared with me, both in presentations and personally one-on-one, has been absolutely invaluable. So big thank you to all of you. I have no doubt the second edition, because of some of that information that I received here, is going to make the textbook just a much better product. Secondly, the length, and for me, I've always been able to adhere to deadlines and get things done when they were supposed to. And so when I started this textbook and I started to miss deadlines, and that was primarily because my first daughter was born the same year that I started the project, and then my mother got sick, was diagnosed with dementia the next year. My second daughter was born the year after that. And so I had more than one publisher say, "Oh, that's okay, life happens." And I said, "No, you don't understand. Life doesn't happen to me. I get my things done." And I didn't. And for 2 years, I didn't write a single word. I was just not in the right place to be able to do that. So again, I'm very proud of that accomplishment. But the length was daunting, and it was something I wish I would have known, you know, in the beginning, how the magnitude of what I was taking on. I will also share that I think I took somewhat of an uncommon path. I had two contract offers in my journey, one from a Big Five publisher and one from a non-Big Five publisher, and they just didn't seem like the right fit for what I was trying to accomplish. And so I had politely declined and then went through some regret and then kind of found a blessing, I think, in disguise. I didn't know that there was a university press close to my campus, Montezuma Publishing on the San Diego State campus. They do formatting and binding and specialize in readers for professors. I was able to retain my copyright, which was very important to me. I certainly sacrificed the editing, marketing, advertising, but I'm very pleased. I've had the same manager for 8 years, which I know is not common for the textbook publishing world, and I'm very happy with that. And then the last thing I wish I would have known, just the general process about how acquisition and contracts work. And again, if I would have found TAA when I was going through that journey, I would have not second-guessed myself. I would have had Stephen review a contract and felt more confident about the whole thing. It's a final plug for TAA. This association and conference and people here have made so much difference to me. I appreciate you all.
So I'm Rick Mullins, also from Xavier University. I'm in probably my third, fourth year working on a first edition organic chemistry textbook. I think the process for me, I kind of fell into writing a book. There was a time very early in my career that I confidently thought, hey, I have something to add, and writing a book would be a cool thing to do someday, but one discussion with an acquisition editor made me realize that it was never going to be. But I fortunately had this habit, and my wife wasn't working at the time, and so maybe that's what drives this. I had this habit of every email that offered a stipend for anything always got extra attention during my first 3 or 4 years of teaching. And so I would get opportunities to review textbooks, and they would offer a certain amount of money. And I, you know, feeling somewhat trying to be ethical about it, I felt like I should spend a certain amount of time. So there was one particular chapter I was reviewing for a proposed book, and I very quickly made my decision. Right, I knew what I wanted to say, but I felt like if I was getting paid this amount of money, I should spend 4 or 5 hours, was how much time I felt I should spend explaining myself. And so I was sitting, we were on vacation at the beach, and I was writing this explanation of why I wouldn't do it, you know, and I would pick out individual paragraphs and say, hey, you know, the author is saying this, my students wouldn't get it, they would need to have this said first, and then it would be this. And so in some ways, just filling that 5 hours of time that I felt like I was required to earn the money for doing this, that's what happened. And so then when they got it back, of course, you know, and I don't know, maybe the acquisition editor at Pearson was really just trying to make a point to me that, hey, don't be so arrogant and condescending on our reviews, or else we're going to ask you to be an author. It's possible that that's what she was going for, but I called her bluff, and so here we are. I've written about 11 to 12 chapters of what will be a 24-chapter book. My hope is to finish it in the next year. I'm on sabbatical, and we'll hopefully be able to, you know, maybe next year I can be on a panel of for new authors who have finished a draft of a book. That kind of gets into the things that I wished I knew before starting is, you know, I had this idea that writing a book was you sit at a computer and you write a book and you just churn out chapter after chapter after chapter. The idea of development editors, acquisition editors, marketing managers, directors of development, all these different people involved in the process, really the idea that, you know, 6 years to write a book, that just seems ridiculous. How could I be 3.5 years in and not quite halfway finished with the process? And that doesn't even include the production, which someday I'll wish I had known about what it takes to go through the final production stage. So it was that length of time, you know, this idea that I'm kind of signing up for a second dissertation. I mean, who would spend 6 years getting a PhD again? Not me. But I'm, alas, I'm doing something that takes a similar amount of time. So I was a little, I wish I had known about that. But maybe they don't want you to know about that until you're 3 years in, when it's too late. The other thing that's happened as I'm sending out chapters for review is this idea that, like, you know, I feel like I have something to add to the students, and you know, my teaching style has meshed well with the students that I teach at Xavier, and I think I have things to share with them, and the market has backed that up. The challenge has been that's not the people who are selecting the book. So it's really an odd industry, and that we're writing a book that will be used by students and that will enable students to learn better, but they don't choose the book. And it's gone so far as to even have reviewers say, you know, this, my students would like this book more. My students would learn from this book better than the one currently, but I would not adopt the book. And so how do you get past that barrier of writing for people who don't pick it? And I think there's obviously, you know, the seasoned authors, I think that's one of the things that I would ask you is, how do you balance that? How do you break through that barrier to get it in the hands of the people that are truly going to benefit from it? The third thing has been the struggle with, you know, when you have an editorial team and they offer words of encouragement and they say things like, oh, you know, trust me, this is a 6-year process, but it's going to be great and it's going to work out. And, well, can you guarantee that it's going to get published at this point? Well, no, not yet. We can't make that guarantee. So there's this, you know, and there's this conflict of, well, it's easy, you know, like, but Rick, you should relax. Well, why should I relax? You guys are getting paid. I'm not getting paid yet. So it's this team of people that get paid and will be rewarded by their bosses if they cut bad projects. Whereas I'm, you know, I don't get rewarded if I'm the bad project that gets cut. So I think that has been, you know, sort of an undue, it's a stressful thing. We just had lunch with my acquisition editor, and she alluded to me as an emotional author. I can own that, but it's not a, you know, I'd love to see a detached, non-emotional author.